Welcome back, everyone, to The Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno, and today I have a special guest all the way up from San Francisco, which is where everyone thinks I live. It's not true. I live here in Seattle. Rest assured, that's how I do all the Xamarin shows. Sarah is with us from the App Center team. How's it going, Sarah?
It's going well. It's going well.
I'm so excited to have you because we've worked a long time in the past. I've seen and ran into a lot of conferences and a lot of different shows. And you weren't at Microsoft, but now you're back at Microsoft.
Yeah.
So welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Third time's a charm. What can I say?
So maybe before today, we're going to be talking about monitoring applications with App Center, which I'm super excited about because when I started monitoring my applications a long time ago, it was a lot difficult. And now we've made it really drop dead simple. So you're here to show us the way. But maybe first you could tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. Like I said, third time's a charm. So third time return to Microsoft. Originally, I lived up here in Redmond for 10 years. I was on the Visual Studio team as a developer, and then later I moved into PM, and I was a PM for Coplex for several years. Then I moved down to San Francisco, Bay Area, tried some different things here and there. More recently, I was at GitHub for...
couldn't tell by the laptop at all.
No. For a couple of years, I worked on the Microsoft side of things, so the GitHub extension for Visual Studio. And then, I'm back. And now this is my fourth week back in the Visual Studio App Center. So yeah, I love DevTools. I can't stay away. And this, I've done I got my master's degree in user experience. Mm. Not because I wanted to, do research or wanted to do UX design. I just want to be a better PM at making DevTools usable from the dev perspective. So I'm really happy to be able to get back to DevTools.
That's awesome. I've always thought about getting my master's, but then I thought, I got to go back to school, and that's not going to happen. That's really smart. That's awesome. I'm super happy to have you here on the App Center team. It's a super exciting product. I know all of our developers love it. So what really got you excited about going and joining the team to work on like crash reporting and analytics? And what was it about that service specifically?
I'm PMing crashes for App Center. Yeah, and I think it just goes back to my days when I worked on Visual Studio, sitting there in all the triage meetings, following bugs, having to figure out, okay, which crashes do you use? Did we fix? How do we figure out how to reproduce this issue? What is the impact of it? So I could immediately feel empathy for that user experience. But also in my nights and weekends, I have some, currently have iOS apps that I'm porting to, or rewriting into Xamarin Forms.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, so I need to get those up to the App Store. So also as a hobbyist, who's like, okay, what can I do this very, very quickly, but it will give me a lot of information to improve my apps. So yeah, so that, again, it goes back to like the Coplex days of how do you take something where you have a product where you have to serve two different users, two types of groups. You have your like enterprise customers, but you also have like your hobbyists, your students, your people like me just coding on the nights and weekends. So how can we raise like that? What's that quote? Raising tide lifts all boats, something like that.
Yeah.
But hey, what can we do just to make software better in the world?
And it's always a hard problem to solve, right? Because there's a lot of solutions that like, oh, it's really easy. Just drag and drop this in, and now you have crash reporting. But all right, well, how do I learn how my users are using my application? What can I do with that data? How do I do reporting? How do I get that to my manager? There's that scale that you're talking about. There's like, oh, I'm just app dev. I'm going into the portal every single day. I don't care. But then there's that other part. Now I'm in an enterprise. Now I need to get it into some reporting tool. I need to get it out of App Center, and I need to kind of have that migration flow. And I think that's what we've been able to do from what I've seen and from what you showed me of what you're going to show today, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, I had a professor in grad school who said, don't make the user do homework. Like, you should be able to look at it and just know what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, the affordances, like the technical term. Like, you see a hammer. Everyone knows how to pick up a hammer. Like, it should be just, okay, I know what to do next.
Yeah.
That's, like, that's always, for me personally, what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, and from the developer experience, having crash reporting analytics just helps my app better, be better at the same time. Because, I mean, Well, I do write pretty great code, and I'm sure, Sarah, you write amazing code too. Let's be honest, no app is perfect. So it happens, crashes happen. I think that's what we all have to admit to ourselves at some point.
And, yeah. And I am my own worst PM. It's like 15 years or 10 years of PMing just like shuts down, and my inner dev just goes wild. Like, I'm free to write code, and it's like all the good best practices I've ever learned just go like out the window. So I need all the help I can get when I do my own projects. So,
well,
so yeah.
Cool. Let's get into it.
Yeah, let's do this.
Where do you want to start at?
All right. So here's, so this app is, it's Contoso Air. Imagine an app being called Contoso for a demo. And it's basically a hotel reservation sort of app. And here you can see, so we're here on the Analytics overview page to kind of give you a bird's eye view of what's the state of your app. Like, how many users do you have, monthly, weekly, daily? You can sort by or filter by versions. This one's just all time. You can see like just the past week or longer time spans. But here you can see also, okay, how long are they spending on the app? What is the average session duration? So 20 minutes, depending upon your app. You know, 18 minutes could be good, it could be bad. But yeah, it just depends on the type of app.
That's amazing. I think the average length of time in app is like 20 seconds.
Yeah, 18 minutes. I'm looking at it for a hotel reservation. Like, what are they doing those 18 minutes? But anyways, but hey, there might be something for that later. Yeah. I can show you. But then like top devices, like, okay, what platforms or devices are they using? So that can help you figure out, okay, where do I need to spend the time testing?
Yeah, that's cool. Because if all of a sudden you see a huge spike in iPhone X, you probably want to optimize your application for the brand new iPhone, right? That's kind of something that I always think about is, well, how many of my users are actually using the latest and greatest, you know, iOS device or Android device? Or are they using really low-end devices? And maybe I should worry about memory management a little bit more, I guess, right?
And let's see, countries. Yeah, so do you need to work on maybe a localization for where do you want to perhaps localize your apps? Any marketing campaigns, things like that, these can give you some insights. And then lastly, adoption, like, hey, how many people are using the latest version of your app?
Yeah, this is always surprising to me. I always think that everyone automatically updates, and they do not.
Right. And so, yeah, for those who do not, you can use push notifications to say, hey, you know, we got, if you want some new features or however you want to inform your users that there's a latest version, you can do it that way. Because a lot of times, perhaps they just don't know or they haven't looked at the app in a while. So
this is kind of like my main dashboard. Every single day I kind of monitor my application, which is really nice. I mean, there's no real work. Like, you didn't have to customize. This is what just came.
This is just, yeah.
Out of the box.
This just comes out of the box.
That's really
correct.
Nice. Yeah.
And we mentioned about, like, what's going on those 18 minutes? If you go into events, and these are custom events. So this is as you as the app developer, you can write, like, track these events at this time. So you write the line of code to say, hey, this is it fired this event or captured this event at this time.
So overview. There's no real code written besides some setup, but this
setup,
like stuff I can track additionally if I want to.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so let's see, like, how many people like looked at a room, and so here we could check the last latest version and see in the past 30 days. So only 31% of all users for the latest version have been clicking see room. But here you could get some of those insights, and then there's a. Yeah, other information. You can also, if this one had it, you can also, in that event, send a custom property and say, like, how many rooms were they looking at the time or something like that.
It.
So you can send a little more information.
Got it. Yeah, so you can check on additional information onto that actual event.
Yes.
Oh, that's really nice. So that way, often in my applications, I know I'm tracking, like, a state of this page. Like, oh, on this page, they filled in this thing, and then they hit this button, but they forgot to do... you know, their password correctly, or it wasn't a right length. So maybe we could add some additional metadata, basically. That's really cool.
And yeah, so that's analytics. And you might have noticed this button at the top about view analytics. And view analytics and application insights. So what does that mean? So if you need more customization to your graphs, if you need to do more advanced querying, you can export it to application insights.
Ah, okay, right into the Azure portal.
Right. And here I'm on the users page. And if I wanted to add, let's say, client model, so wait for it to grab a value. There we go. How many people are using the same phone as me? And apply, because why not? But yeah, this is the idea. Like, you can get some more. So 221 users are using an iPhone 6S. So it's just, again, getting more insights into if you need additional information, you can go and export it to here than if we're provided on the portal.
That's nice. So that way you're not actually trapped into App Center. That's a lot of times people want to export their data and then bring it not only into App Insights, but probably into like Power BI.
Yeah, exactly.
To do like charts and graphs and things like that. But this is also really pretty too. I love pretty charts and graphs. I don't know what it is, but I like when things are done for me. That's really cool, actually. I didn't know about this feature at all. So was it? How do you actually go about setting that up? Is it just like a checkbox or?
It's here, and then we can look at the and then like the next in the sample app that
oh,
I have.
How to set
yeah,
it up.
We can look at it briefly, but basically it would be an export, and okay. You could choose where to export it to.
Okay, cool.
And yeah, so and then now let's look at crashes. Yeah,
so really, like when we're talking about monitoring apps, there's the two parts. We're analytics, like how well is our app doing, and then I guess crashes is how bad is our app doing.
or how well? I mean, the glass could be half full.
That's true. And this is what you're specifically working on a day to day basis.
Yes, this is my new day job. Is this? So this is a great way to start week four. Yeah. Like demo the feature. All right, so here. All right, we're looking at the crashes page for this Contoso Air application. So what's going on here? So this is the first thing on this page is like, okay, how many users have been crash-free? And that's a pretty high, but I'm a perfectionist. I want to get that number as high as possible.
Yeah.
And we are playing with the scaling over here. So even though these are hitting zero, they're actually not hitting the bottom of the graph is not really zero. It's actually like 95%.
Got it.
Because if we had from zero to 100, like for like my personal apps, I think that's like all three users that I have. It would be from zero. It would have to be from zero to 100. If we kept that, it would just be like a straight line for something with this high of volume.
Makes sense.
We're still tweaking it. So again, hey, I'm a PM. I love feedback. I can never get too much of it. So I'm always looking for ways we can improve this. But that's what this is doing right now. Crashes per day. If I wanted to see, you can see there's what's happening on a daily basis. But you can also notice that there's like the weekend, weekday curve going on.
Got
on
it.
Both sides. Now, this bottom part is groups. So if we were to show, like, especially for the larger apps, you know, like hundreds of crashes individually for every unique user on every unique device, I mean, it would just be
thousands.
A sea. It would just be a flood.
Yeah. You can't really, as a developer, you can't quantitate that into something.
Exactly. Yeah. How do we, again, it's about making it actionable.
Yeah.
You should be able to see a hammer and just know, okay, this is how I pick it up. And so one of the ways is the idea of the concept of a crash group.
Okay.
Like, how do you group similar crashes together? And one of the ways is to look at the stack frame and say, okay, what is the of these crashes, if they have the same stack frame, then they're most likely caused by the same reason.
Okay, that makes sense. And so you're essentially diagnosing not only the type of crash, but also where kind of in the code or based on the symbols where it's occurring. Because you could have a null reference exception in 8,000 places, but you should have 8,000 different groups.
Right, yeah. If you're going to have to fix it 8,000 different places, then
but
yes.
But there literally are different crashes. So that's why we're seeing inside of here kind of
different.
Similar things, similar system IO exceptions, but they're in different places.
Right, And again, it's like, how do I make this actionable? Tell me what I need to do so I can do my day job and then go on to the next thing. Like, I want to fix these crashes. I want to get the biggest bang for the buck.
Got it.
And so if you sort by impact, what it does is it says, okay, how many crashes have occurred? per crash group. So there were 94 occurrences of this crash in this for this crash group, and that's across 76 users.
So impacting basically all of our users.
Or at least 76
a lot of users.
Yeah, 76 users encountered this crash, and this crash happened 94 times. So there were probably several users who hit it multiple times whatever reason. So let's go look into it. And so we're looking at the the representative. So in theory, these should all be the same. Week four. These should be all the same call stack. So we're looking at the call stack here, and you notice that it goes from 3 to 9. And if you can expand it, it's kind of like seeing the additional system level code that I didn't write. But again, it's like, show me what I can control.
What I care about.
Here we can see, again, crashes per day for this particular crash group, most affected devices, operating systems. But let's say, again, I need just one specific one I can start to look at.
Dive into
So we're going to look at this one, a more recent platform or operating system. And here I can see more about this particular device, any threads that were also occurring at the same time, events. And remember, you saw earlier about in the analytics for as the app developer, I can do custom event tracking.
Oh, so it's kind of like what happened, what I tracked leading up to the crash.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, really, so it almost gives me the steps to reproduce it myself.
Yes, exactly.
Nice, that's cool.
And then attachments. This one doesn't have attachments, but in another demo in a bit, I'll show you how you can do attachments. So at the time of with attachments, you can send additional information.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah, kind of like especially a lot of applications like myself, I have my own logging type framework.
Yeah.
So you could pump that out over here to the attachments. That's cool. Nice. Yeah, that's kind of really nice. I mean, this application, it really was impacting every type of device, but even just going in to say, okay, is it the same between this device and this device that were leading up to the repro steps or what was actually happening? For me, like you said, actionable items of, hey, I can go back to, you know, my setup and I can just go and look at the code where I put these snippets at and actually reproduce the bug, which I think is the hardest part, right? The hardest part is not knowing that a crash is occurring. It's how do I now reproduce that crash and then fix it?
Yes,
so this gives me tons of information. Now, how did you set this up though? Is it a lot of work? Because, I mean, there's a lot of information that's flowing into this puppy.
All right, so yeah, let's start with, so this is a sample app that I started creating for this trip up to from San Francisco to Seattle. I never know if I'm coming, which way I'm going. I find myself, I have a piece of paper at home, and it has everything that I should bring, and so it's like my pre-flight checklist. And I go through it just to make sure, okay, what did I forget? Hopefully I have everything this time, turn off the heater or AC when I leave. And I realized, wait a minute, this should really be an app that I can just check, 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 and then clear for the next trip and then check again. And so this is actually Xamarin Forms app. So you could make sure that you select Xamarin Forms for the instructions. And let's see. Yeah, and so here you just step one, step two, but it tells you exactly, which NuGet packages to install. And remember, if you're a Xamarin Forms app, you'll have to do it in both places, not just for the Xamarin Form project, but also for the targeted platform projects as well.
Got it.
And then using statements, and this is the line of code that you add. And that, for this particular sample you're about to see, I'm just targeting iOS for the time being. If this is in App Center, you register applications for each of the platforms. This is an iOS registration that you're seeing, and that's why you're only getting what we call the app secret. You're only getting this one.
Got it. So if you had an Android version, a UWP,
Your your iOS app secret here, and then would see your Android app secret.
That's pretty nice that you can just register them all at the same time in shared code, so you don't even have to go into the platform-specific code besides the NuGet.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, very cool.
And then that's pretty much it. And it's really you just do that, and then just pay attention to if you're in Xamarin Forms versus Xamarin iOS or Xamarin Android. Just pay attention to where you need to.
startup.
Yeah, like where the startup code for this one gets me every time. It's like, oh yeah, where am I? Okay, yeah, in this place. So put it here. So just pay attention to that. And
very cool.
Yeah, and see zoom out control. There we go. All right, and yeah, so let's look at this and. So again, control. There we go. All right. So yeah, again, NuGet packages here, and then also
got it
in the targeted. And so with this one, I'm just targeting iOS. So
any Xamarin developer will be used to that if you've done like plugins for Xamarin, where you have to install everything not only just in the .NET standard or PCL, but also in the because the platform specific implementation is what's in there. So. That's really cool. All
right, and here's the line. Yeah. Nice. And yeah, like I said, I just did the one platform registrations for iOS, so that's why I just have that one secret. And then so yeah, type of analytics just to get all those analytics on that one page that you saw.
Okay.
And then yeah, and then crashes as well.
Got it. So how would I go about doing additional things like tracking events or getting this other advanced functionality that you were talking about?
All right. So let's jump over to. So I just have like a start here. Someone who's helping me get ramped up in Xamarin forums. They said always start with the app code to see exactly what is happening. And I was like, yep. So you see that I created a pre-flight checklist page. And over here, if we jump to that page, you'll see I have a button, and then this is the click event for the button. And yeah, so if you want to start tracking analytics, like, hey, are they clicking this button? Like for my own personal apps, I was thinking, well, are they ever clicking the question mark, like more information?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wait, what? Like again, my inner dev goes free, and my PM 10 years just goes out the window. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course, I should be tracking all this stuff. So this is how to track an event. You just send this line. And then you will get it on that custom event page that you saw, like the C room.
Got it. That was perfect.
Yeah. And then here, I did two different exceptions. I did not an implemented exception, and then just through like a generic exception. Just I wanted to show two different call stacks.
Got it. Yeah. So basically, this probably wouldn't be your real code, but you know, to simulate a crash.
Yeah. Like right? I said, I'm just getting started with with this app. So yeah. But yeah, I wanted to show two different call stacks, so it would have two different crash groups.
Perfect.
And here, so we could jump over to. I'll just show really quickly, just so. Yeah, you can see here.
Oh, okay. So you have the two different tracking.
Yeah, and I had like a main page loaded, but and then and so all these are. So this is all my. On my personal device, and then also in the simulator. And again, it's just like the fact that I can test all this in the simulator was like exciting to me. I just assumed I would have to be doing this on the device.
Got it. Yeah.
So I was excited to see that. So I can test all my like play with all my hypotheses in my head of like, am I getting the analytics that I'm expecting, so I can make informed decisions.
Got it. That makes sense.
All right, and then for crashes, so here we can see. So happy you taught me about the control to finger scroll.
Pro moves.
So here you can see a system exception and a system non-implemented exception thrown here.
Okay.
It's two different groups. And yeah, so so let's go in here. And I'm going to go to this particular, like one specific one.
Yeah, it's nice that you can actually see not only the literal event that happened in, but you can also see that a message. So if you give really nice messages in your exceptions, or if you rethrow an exception, I mean, it's pretty great. You're gonna know what to search for, right?
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah. Normally, my search is in the 90s, Yo MTV Raps, because you're never going. That's a unique string. I know I can find it. If it exists, I will be able to find it. Anyway, so yeah, if I wanted to see those events, so again, it's like, okay, if I'm sitting there like 10 years, 15 years ago as a developer in Visual Studio, I'm like, okay, how does this user get into the state with the IDE?
Yep.
this gives me a fighting chance of saying, okay, what were the events leading up to right before the crash?
Got it.
I can try to reproduce it on my own as much as possible. And so here, yeah, getting started clicked, and then the app crashed. So, and then some attachments. You can send a screenshot. This is just some dummy text that I'm playing with. But again, you can learn more about. Let me show you. Let me show everyone where you can learn more about the SDK. So in the Visual Studio App Center documentation, go to the SDK crashes. And then, depending upon your platform, for the example, this is targeting, Xamarin.
Xamarin, yeah.
Yeah. You can see.
Every little.
Yeah. You
piece
can find.
You need.
Yeah. Details about the last crash. Attachments. And so this is where
that
code.
Yeah, yeah. So this is essentially where you would put that code when you wanted to generate for that crash. Oh, that's really nice. That's really cool. Yeah, it seems like there's an event for almost every single thing that happens. So you kind of have that fine grain control over the crash reporting, so you can add that additional metadata to help you finesse your app. That's really cool. Awesome. Anything else that you wanted to show off inside of App Center?
Let's see. So we should, because what is the point of, if you're going to do a demo, you gotta commit to it. So 15 crashes right now. So let's run this. I wanted to do this. I do this every time, and this is why I wanted to demo this. If you're trying to test crashes, you can't be under the debugger, because the debugger will handle the crash, and so crash won't get recorded.
Yep.
So what you need to do is, once you run or deploy to the device, make sure that you're not under the debugger. Start your app, and now we'll crash the app. And now, on the next run, that's when it will send its data.
Yeah, we were talking about that, because I actually specifically, when does the crash get reported?
Yeah.
And you had the perfect answer for that.
Yeah, because you've crashed. I hope that's what I said
earlier.
Yeah, you're gone. It's
yeah.
over. So now.
So the next boot up is when it's going to go ahead and send it over.
Right, the next time that it is launched. And if we have killed enough time, it should be it is pretty fast. But,
15,
and 16. The local demo gods smile upon us today, and this has increased to 16. And we see that, 34 seconds ago.
Wow, that's really nice. That's super quick. That's awesome. Now, is there any other integrations with other, I use, sometimes my source code is in GitHub or in VSTS. Is there any additional tracking or synchronization between other tools?
So here for this project, I have it set up that every time there's a new crash group, that an issue will be filed in GitHub.
So
this is even in the private repo.
Oh, nice.
So I could just enforce it to be a new go big or go home. Let's call this give me an exception.
Just do it a null reference exception, maybe.
All right, you gotta remind me. Is it just null reference?
All right.
Forgot. You know what? Something like that. All right. It is my test string.
Okay.
Can you tell it used to be a tester? All right. And then here, stick to what I know.
Yeah.
I'll stop the debugger and then relaunch.
The run without debugging in Visual Studio for Mac is somewhere.
It's taken me a while to go from Visual Studio and Windows for my entire career.
I did the exact same thing after 6 years.
I'm terrified of my old keyboard shortcuts. Too much old habit here.
So now we're going to see is a new crash group of null reference exceptions.
Yes.
On next launch.
And it should get me a new GitHub issue because I set it up that way. All right, and I can't remember. I think I crashed it. Let's just send a couple. Better be safe than sorry. All right, one more time. All right, and let's go back here. And so we're going to have to wait a little bit. So what is the coolest thing you've seen this week or this year?
Oh, my goodness. This year, 2018, kicking it off. Well, CES just happened. And while I'm not really excited for all new televisions, maybe, I don't know, I guess I'm excited for the stuff happening with like the Nintendo Switch currently, this new Labo thing where it's like cardboard creations. I don't know, that's what I'm about. So okay. I'm a weirdo, but I love it. I'm a big video game geek. I love it. So hopefully we'll see a bunch because we crashed it a whole bunch of times.
Right. Should be above 16. Should be 18. Yep,
boom.
18.
Okay, cool.
And since this is null reference exception, we have a new crash group. I do not know how long it takes. I thought it was pretty instant yesterday when I was looking into this. But yeah, there
cool.
we go.
Oh, cool.
So yeah.
And what happens when you click on that one?
Opened a minute ago.
Oh, that's really nice. So as a developer who may not even have access to App Center, and I'm just inside of GitHub or VSTS or somewhere else, I just have all the information at hand.
Yeah, and
that's super nice.
And if you, I believe, that if you resolve this issue, you close it, it should be closed also. There should be a 2-week sync there.
That's super nice. So really actionable items, not only inside of App Center for your app, but inside of GitHub too.
Yes.
Awesome. Cool. Okay.
Yep.
Is there anything else?
No, that's
every
that's
little
it.
Bit. Yeah. There's a lot
this
more.
This is where I have onboarded in 3 weeks. So.
Awesome. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for making the trip up from beautiful San Francisco to beautiful Seattle, Washington, where it's bright and sunshiny every single day of the
all
year.
All the time.
Well, awesome. Until next time, this has been another episode of The Xamarin Show. Make sure you subscribe. It's up over there, down over there. You know what to do. Ding that bell so you get notifications right in your inbox or notification stream. So until next time, thanks for watching.